we bow for a word of prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, there is none greater in heaven and earth. You unselfishly sacrifice your holiness for our undeserving people, in which your love and grace was shown for us. Father, we give you thanks in your house today. This is a great nation, as we are free to choose to openly worship our Lord and Savior. Again, we are blessed. Lord, I pray for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit be upon us today, that our hearts and minds be focused on you and the meaning of your word. May this message be delivered as your will commands and deserves. I seek to praise and honor you, our Lord, only, revealing the love and purpose of your commission. May we go from this place into the world showing the example of Christ's life be ours for all the days to come. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Morning, morning, morning. Did I say good morning? What's that? Did somebody out there say, is he going to preach? Oh no, that was just me trying to convince myself of what am I doing here. For those of you not aware of it, I am not an ordained minister. You'll probably get that pretty quick. But I'm glad to be here. I've been anxiously waiting for this time to come, and nervously. And I'm probably not in the running to win any awards for public speaking. So what am I doing? You're asking yourself, what am I doing in front of you? Well, I'll tell you the truth. It's Scott's fault. I blame it on him. He even tried last week to not take responsibility because he preached on passing the buck. Well, I already had this written down, so I win. If any repercussions, you have to take them up with him. No, truthfully, Pastor Scott presented an offer for whoever would be interested in attending a seminar for layman preaching. I found it to be very fulfilling and encouraging. We had several in attendance, and I think all will agree that a lot of knowledge was provided as well as growing in God's glory. Heaven knows I need a lot of both. Some of you out there know firsthand that I'm not perfect. So if you can bear with me, I'll try not to cuss, accidentally spit on anybody, or fall asleep. I love the Lord and seek to do His will. One thing I haven't mentioned is that Jesus and I do have something in common. I'm a carpenter. But with that said, I'm pretty sure He didn't say the same thing I did when I missed and hit my finger. He's God and He is perfect. But all kidding aside, the Lord has blessed me and my family so very much. I want to give Him honor and praise today for the gifts and loves we have received. So this desire came over me to share these words with you. This is something I won't soon forget, I suppose, and encourage. I support and encourage others that feel this is for them to do so. I want to thank all of you who have given prayers for me and given me encouragement. One more thing I need to say. I want to thank both Tammy and Scott for all their hard work they do for the Lord and for this church family. Personally, I thank Scott for the help and devotion he's given me in preparing for this sermon. So thank you both. I have much more appreciation for what you do in preparing for a sermon, and Scott, I'm not after your job. So, to get started, I'll be talking about something I feel is very serious, and we need to be aware of it. I find this subject to be very moving and profound. This message is from several scriptures of the Bible and other informing articles. We begin in 2 Chronicles 15:2. The Bible states, He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, you will be found. He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." Forsake you. That sounds pretty serious. What does it mean? Don't harden your heart. That's what we're talking about today. As a teenager, going to church, this message to me being heard for the first time was shocking. It hit a nerve. I thought God was always there for us, good or bad, no matter how bad, how unloving we all are, how somehow He was inside of us waiting to be given a chance. So for someone to say, don't harden your heart or He will leave you, this was eye-opening. Yes, these words have always stayed with me. Now, preparing for this talk, I have found out hardening of the heart has a much deeper meaning than what I was aware of. I thought it pertained to when a person knew in their heart God was calling and wanting that person to accept Him as their Savior, but would reject Him, their hearts would start becoming hard, His voice would get a little softer, and each time this person feels the need to accept Him but refuses. Their heart is made harder and harder until they don't have a desire for the love of God. Yes, this is a description of hardening of a hardened heart. Yes, the truth of the matter is, the more one rejects and hardens his heart, the more God hardens your heart. The more alone you get. Each time you hear Him calling and don't respond, He gets further away. Harder each time to respond back to Him. The Holy Spirit leaves your heart until eventually giving you what you desire, your sinful self all alone with your soul, your sin, and the devil. No conscience for spirituality left in you. No love for God. This made me realize how unfortunate, how tragic this could be, a person without God. He's not in there, in your heart. Even though you thought God would be with you always, the Scripture says, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 states that, but it also says something else to understand. You have to read it all together. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. He's talking about a person who loves the Lord and cares for Him that He will not leave. You have to have a desire for God, not to have a hardened heart. I thought nothing compared to this, a person in this state of being, without God in their heart, all alone, bound for hell, a heart so hard that Almighty God could not even break in, or even wants to. God reveals this truth in the story of Samson, in Judges 16:20. Everybody knows the story of Samson, with his long hair. He had great strength. He was a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. No razor was to be used on his head. Not many people have started life with his credentials. Born as a result of God's plan, because Samson wasted his strength on practical jokes and getting out of scrapes, and because he eventually gave it all up altogether to the woman he loved. So the story unfolds. Delilah, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man over to shave off his 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then the most compelling part of this story, Samson being so foolish, we read in the final words of verse 20, but he didn't even know that the Lord had left him. He didn't even know it. He had hardened his heart. Being disobedient drove God from him. He was all alone in his heart. This is what we have to watch out for if we continue in our selfish, sinful ways. God will leave you. Because He hates sin, not the sinner, He will leave. And you are not even aware of it. In Matthew 27:46, the Bible states, God even left Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? The physical agony was horrible, but even worse was the period of a spiritual separation from God. Jesus suffered this double death so that we would never have to experience eternal separation from God. Now, you know, Jesus never sinned. He was separated from God because of our sin. He bore our sin on the cross, and God cannot be present with sin. Being defiant, doing one's own will, drives the Holy Spirit from us. We are all alone and not aware of it. To hear these words should send shockwaves echoing inside of us. For to be hard-hearted is to be alone, separated from God, and we cannot do it alone. Such is the reality of our own sinful desires. You will it on yourself. You have to seek Him and show Him love for Him to be ever present in your heart. He showed you how much He loved you. He died for you. He took on your sin and gave us new life. The disciples hardened their hearts, as we see in Mark 8:17-18. It states, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you thinking about having bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear, and don't remember?" Jesus rebuked the disciples for their hard hearts. In Mark 6:25, we also read, "For they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened." The disciples didn't want to believe, perhaps because, one, they couldn't accept the fact that this human named Jesus was really the Son of God. Two, they dare not believe that the Messiah would choose them as His followers. And three, they still didn't understand the real purpose for Jesus coming to earth. Their disbelief took on the form of misunderstanding. Even after watching Jesus miraculously feed 5,000 people, they still couldn't believe and take the final step of faith and believe that He was God's Son. If they had, they would not have been amazed that Jesus could walk on water. Today, the hard hearts believe that poverty, one, that poverty is always caused by laziness. Helping the poor only enables them. Two, that worship is best conducted in one way, our way, which has worked very well for 40 years, thank you, and need not be changed. Three, that evangelism doesn't apply. People will never change anyway, so we don't need to do it. Joining the hard hearts requires only one pledge. You must refuse to listen to Jesus' questions. Don't be hard-hearted. Be open to Christ's truth. Let Him soften your heart by listening to what He says in your heart and by obeying His commands. Another story revealed in the Bible is Pharaoh's story. It talks about God hardening Pharaoh's heart by declining His word and revealing His power. God gave Pharaoh the opportunity to repent repeatedly. But instead, Pharaoh resisted, hardened his heart. The fault lay not with God, but with Pharaoh. The same sunlight that melts the ice also hardens the clay. God was not unrighteous in dealing with Pharaoh because He gave him many opportunities to repent and believe. 15 times in Exodus, the scripture mentions Pharaoh's heart being hardened. That Pharaoh hardened his heart against God and refused to humble himself is made plain in the story. So God's hardening of him was a judicial act, abandoning him to his own stubbornness, much as God's wrath against the ungodly is expressed by giving him over to their depravity. Romans 1:24-28. So God is not unjust. The fact is, as Paul demonstrates in the early chapters of his letters, all human beings are sinful and guilty in God's sight, so that nobody deserves to be saved. If therefore God hardens some, He is not being unjust, for that is what their sin deserves. If, on the other hand, He has compassion on some, He is not being unjust, for He is dealing with them in mercy. The wonder is not that some are saved and others are not, but that anybody is saved at all. For we deserve nothing at God's hand but judgment. If we receive what we deserve, which is judgment, or if we receive what we don't deserve, which is theirs, but if anybody is saved, the credit is God's. This anonymity contains a mystery which our present knowledge cannot solve, but is consistent with Scripture, history, and experience. Jesus told of another parable of a farmer who went out and sowed seeds. You don't have to have a green thumb to know that the object of sowing seed is to get it into fertile soil so that it will take root and produce fruit. Jesus pointed out this often when a farmer would throw seeds, some of it would land on hard-packed soil. That seed was wasted. It would never grow. Jesus went on to explain what he meant by this agricultural story. Some people's hearts are so impenetrable, hardened, unresponsive, and callous, the word of God just bounces off. It never takes root. Are the seeds of fruit taking root in your life? Who lives in your heart? Biblically, when both the Old and New Testament speak about the heart, it never means simply the human feeling, emotion. The biblical word heart is the inner aspect of man, made of three parts, all together with the primary part being one, the mental process, where action and reaction take place in 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the thing man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Two is emotion, which only process its reaction as icing to enrich our lives. Three is will. The seed of will, discretionary, volitational, design-making, where decisions are made between the rational and the emotive. The heart is a seat of the will. A decision may be described as setting the heart. In 2 Chronicles 12:14, we read, "He did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord." The Bible has much more to say about the heart. The word heart in the King James Version, according to E. Sword, is found 835 times in 775 verses. God knows all our hearts. "For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men." 1 Kings 8:39. The question is, how well do we know our own hearts? Is your heart like Samson's, not aware if God is in there, or does he reside in there wholeheartedly? Proverbs 23:7 states, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And verse 38 says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. This was to fulfill the words of Isaiah the prophet. "Lord, who has believed our message, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Now, I have six warning signs that we should all be familiar with. They're in Romans in the index in the NIV Study Bible. And the first one is disobeying. Pharaoh willfully disobeyed. Disobedience led him to his hardened heart. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you, the power to do, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." Two is having wealth and prosperity. Taking God's blessing for granted can cause us to feel as if they were owed to us. Deuteronomy 8:6-14, "Observe the commands of the Lord God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and ponds of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God, for the good land has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold are increased, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. 3 is rebelling and being discontented. Psalms 95:8. Suffering or being discontent can create an attitude that blames God. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did at Meribah, or as you did at Massa in the desert. 4 is rejecting a deserved rebuke. Rejecting God's gift makes us our neck stiff and our hearts hard. Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. 5 is refusing to listen. Refusing to listen leads to a loss of spiritual hearing. Zechariah 7:11-13. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they took their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or the words that Almighty had sent by His Holy Spirit. Through the earlier prophets, the Lord Almighty was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. Failing to respond, 6 is failing to respond. Listening to God with no intentions of obeying produces inability to obey. In Matthew 13:11-15, He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even that he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Through seeing, they do not see. Through hearing, they do not hear or understand. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Some people think, if only I could see a miracle, I could believe in God. God gave Pharaoh just such an opportunity. Gnats infested Egypt. Even after the magicians agreed that this was God's work, the finger of God. But still, Pharaoh refused to believe. He was stubborn, and stubbornness can blind a person to the truth. When you rid yourself of stubbornness, you may be surprised by abundant evidence of God in your work in your life. So how do we deal with and guard against it? For Christians, the danger of a hard heart is always looming. This will always be a struggle until we reach our glory with Christ. Hebrews 3:8 warns Christians to guard against hearts being hardened in sin, like the Israelites in the wilderness. Dangers are ever present and ever at work. When the heart remains unmoved, unaffected to the word of God, to the works of God and His commands, it is an habitual power and effect of sin against God. Since a hard heart actively works against us, we should actively guard against it. Romans 2:5 talks about stubbornness. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. No one will escape the final encounter with God's punishment. Punishment is generally not immediate for sin, but judgment is certain. Ezekiel 33:11, God says, "I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked." Psalms 9:10, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." So we need to ask ourselves, what condition is our heart in? Is it loving and soft toward God and His commands? Or is it hardened and disobedient? God loves all mankind. He died for us all, giving us new life. It is up to us to accept His generous gift. His brutal sacrifice of His righteousness His cleansing blood spilled for you and me at Calvary. If you don't care for God today, you really won't care for what He has to say when He comes back again. If you feel Him tugging at your heart and you don't know Him as your personal Savior, let Him in. He stands at the door and knocks. He hates sin, but He loves a sinner. If you hear Him calling today, answer Him. So you can begin today to experience a heart for God, for tomorrow may be too late. Thank you. May God bless you.